Jerry Benton, 2 years ago, you ran for a North Carolina House seat. Education was a big part of your platform. You said that was the galvanizing issue. Now you're running for Brunswick County Board of Education. What do you want to accomplish?
I need to bring in a trade school. We graduate 86% of our kids, 52% are proficient. We have a 40% dropout rate their first year in college of those who go. And really, we have no careers in our county that require college degrees. So this is a great way for us to bring in a trade school, give the kids a skill so they can stay home and change the vision of success, because success is self-sufficiency. Our retirees need service industries, service jobs filled. They need a plumber, an electrician who will actually show up. And our kids need a way to support themselves and start a family and be able to financially do this. And it's just a win-win for everybody involved. And I think it's a unanimous support of this. I've worked the polls daily. Everybody, Democrat, Republican, believes trade schools are the key. And we just have to make some of our elected officials realize that this is the way to make things happen. And this is success in today's world.
So allowing options for kids who may not necessarily be on a traditional college track is one of the prongs. What other issues do you think face Brunswick County schools specifically?
Well, we have the MTSS, the multi-tiered support system, coming out. That's going to be mandated by DPI, which means we treat every child as if they're special education, their special needs, and we assess everybody and provide them support without labeling them initially. And as they get to further tiers in the system, they're going to be labeled and placed into, get them an IEP or a 504 to get them the needs. But this implementation means that we need more program directors. We're going to need more staff. And then we get into the funding issue. Of course, this is not going to be funded. But I think we're getting enough money. I mean, the county commissioners are very generous. Our funding from the county commissioners, they give us 36.5 cents per dollar that they take in, which is by far superior to most of the other counties in the state. Federally, we receive more money than other counties in the state. State-wise, we are still about $58 per child less than other counties in the area, but I'm assured that the legislature is working on this, and they're going to simplify and make things more equitable across the board in the coming short session.
Speaking with Representative Frank Eiler recently, he said the other day, while he agrees the state needs to do more in terms of funding public schools, he said the counties bear a tremendous responsibility for North Carolina's poor reputation on that front, particularly teacher pay. Would you agree with that?
I would say that the counties, that is a fair assessment, because we can't levy tax. If you lived up north, there's a school tax. Down here in the south, we don't. The legislature's capped off what a county can charge, and they don't make the determination on how much the county gives to the school district. However, school board members could sue the county in order to get more money. But like I said, we have a four-year agreement, which was a 4.5% increase, which is $1.5 million about, and it was increase. And that is very generous from our county commissioners. They are totally behind education. Our county has the Brunswick Guarantee, which guarantees free college to any graduate of our high schools that spent 4 years either homeschool, charter school, or in the county high school. So you can actually go to Brunswick Community College for 2 years in a program. They won't cover your electives and things that are unrelated to your degree. But if you stay in your degree path, they will pay for that, and now including $750 a year in books. So they really do care about education. They just put a huge expansion on our nursing program there, and it's really going to make a difference for our children.
There was a fairly recent bond that was approved. Do you think more money is going to be needed with all of these new initiatives that you're talking about, like a career technical education high school, for instance?
I believe that we can make this happen. The county commissioners, I have at least two that are firmly on board with. They have the land. We have a $9 million surplus at the Board of Ed. And if we would build the building, we could make this happen without asking for another bond. Bond money is very special. It can only be used to build buildings. And currently all of that bond money is allotted for the new expansion. We're adding a new middle school in the north, because our schools in the north end of the county are just over, they're well over 100%. Some are 140% occupancy. And it's just unrealistic for us to stay at those levels with the growth that we're seeing at the north end of the county. But as I said, funding-wise, I think we are well-funded. We are able to do what we need to do. I don't plan on asking for any more funding unless we get some kind of crazy mandate that is just absolutely insane from the legislature that doesn't require – that is unfunded.
What grade would you give the current school board and why?
I think we're a B at the current school board. I'm not a member. I don't see the vision, and that would be my criticism of what's going to go on in the future. There's no sight. I know the last two folks that went on had a vision of adding this trade school, and they haven't been able to get it done. And I think – and they're short that third vote to make it happen. And but they have – the early college was established. It's got a stellar rating, a 99.9% of the kids graduate, and they graduate with a two-year degree. So that's phenomenal. The other end is they have increased at West Brunswick High School. We increased to 20 nursing students a year now instead of the 10 that there was there. So that is a huge increase, especially for us, you know, people like myself are pushing for this trade school. But we still have some behavioral issues in the school system. You know, there's a push to close the alternative school. And I think, you know, an important part of this is common sense behavioral policy needs to be written. I know we have two principals sitting up there on the board, ex-principals up there on the board, and they've shared concerns with me about that as well, is that having the ability to have disruptive students moved out and then being able to get them the services they need. And that's consolidating services maybe at an alternative location for them where we can have a private a private-public partnership. We can have community organizations come in. And we can really work with the children. And it doesn't mean more money. It doesn't mean changing the way things are done. It just means consolidating resources for them. And the board needs to work with these other organizations. For instance, Matthew's Ministry in our county feeds 500 children who go hungry every weekend. They provide backpacks. But during the summer, they have no idea who the kids are. So they can't actually provide food to the kids over the summer, even though they're very much willing. So Brunswick Family Assistance is going to try to pick that up using their list of kids to try to hopefully reach these children. And it'd be nice if we could feed our kids over the summer, those who are really impoverished and need this. Because children shouldn't go hungry. I mean, how can we expect them to learn? The same thing with vision care. You know, they say over 50% of kids need corrective lenses. We need to make sure we're partnering with, like, the Lions to come in and at least get us the list of who needs glasses. And then a lot of the eye doctors in town down in Shallotte, there's one who donates glasses prescriptions to the children. I mean, these are just partnerships that make sense. Everybody wants to do their part because everybody wants to do what's best for children. And it's a matter of just bringing them into the fold and getting them involved.
Now, we've touched on this a little bit, but let's get very specific about teacher pay, because we know North Carolina has really suffered. There's been something of an exodus of teachers to neighboring states and even other parts of the country. What can Brunswick County Board of Education members do about that?
I think we can establish a better supplement. We can also improve their working conditions by far. We have the Teacher Academy, which they started. I was critical in the beginning, but it's had wonderful results. The ability for teachers to plan in advance is a huge benefit to them because there's stress of the beginning of the year is off you, and we all know stress is a huge part of why you leave your job. Competing with South Carolina is going to be difficult because they have different state benefits. Their benefits are a little bit better than ours at the state level, and that's going to be tough for us to match. But I think if we also created a bonusing system for those who are performing, I don't have any idea how we'd make this work because I would be one vote of three and anything I would tell you today would be untrue. And I don't want to say that, but we have to look into creative ways of not only improving the environment, professional development options, being able to send teachers out to these large conferences where they can go talk to other folks in their fields and seeing what works and what doesn't and what's been effective in other schools is another way, because any way that you can make them more successful, it makes their job satisfaction better.
So let's say you're elected. We've gotten to the end of your first term. You're looking back. What have you accomplished? How is the Brunswick County school system different because of you?
I would have liked to have began construction on the trade school. I think that is, if we can get that alone accomplished in my first 4 years, let's be honest here, things are slow when you're talking in the bureaucracy of government. That would be a huge success. Being able to know that children are going to be going to school, coming out with a career, and serving their community and being self-sufficient, that's a goal by itself. if we can accomplish anything else, even bumping up the graduation requirements, because right now, as I said, we're graduating 86% of our kids, 53% are proficient. If we could bump that to 58%, that would be a marked improvement, because little increments are very difficult to do. And reading proficiency in the county right now is about 34% coming out of elementary school, 37% coming out of middle school. And we have a retention rate. Our best principals in the county actually have high retention rates, because they don't let children move on if they are not up to reading standards. And that's the best thing they can do. And it is that brings around another problem is, you know, parents get angry when their child gets held back. However, it's very important that we do that, because if we catch it early when they're still developing, they'll be able to catch up with their peers and be able to be successful. And that's the key, is we're out for their success overall. At 12th grade, when they leave, we want successful students that are able to be self-sufficient.
Do you everybody is talking about school safety, everybody, from the local levels up to the state to the federal level. What do you think Brunswick County School Board needs to do about school safety?
Well, we have an SRO at every single school, which including our charter schools in the county, which is not under the district, which is excellent. We have one of the best sheriffs in the state by far. He is proactive. He's working on a task force, I heard, to keep the track of things. So I'm very confident. Also, Mr. Miller, who's our chairman, he's also a sheriff's officer, and I know that is his baby, taking care of our school safety, and I have full faith in him that anything he does and everything he's doing will keep our children safe. They have it made public, so I'm not privy to what's going on in the plan, because obviously that is something we do not want a shooter or somebody to know about, the countermeasures. But I have faith in the gentleman that the two of them will keep our children safe. And I think behavioral policies, like I spoke about, and getting those services of bringing in these pastors who are licensed family counselors into the schools and being able to speak to the children. You know, mental health is a large part of why we have these issues. And if we can address that in the schools early, we don't ever get to the point of a shooter, which is what we're trying to do, is avoid that. And I mean, the state does have their place for this. They have Trillium here, who's opening up beds. We hear Trillium's in, you know, they have the anchor program for the addiction side. And that's all great things that they're doing. So we need to just keep encouraging them to making sure they're picking up their pieces as well of the mental health side.
You gave the school board, the current school board, a B grade. And understanding that no one wants to denigrate anyone, you still are one of three people on the ballot. So when people go to the polls and they see your name, why should they vote for you instead of the other two?
I taught in the inner city Durham. I have three kids coming into the system. I know what it is to be a parent. And I want a trade school. And that is alone enough. I think the trade school alone. I also am active in the community. I have 120 Cub Scouts in our Cub Scout pack. I'm a member of the Disabled Veterans. So it's not as if I am unable to be found in the community and out of touch. I understand what it is to teach. I understand what it is to be a parent. And I understand what it is to be successful here. And we need to ensure that our kids are able to be successful with the trade program.
Okay, and then just for fleshing out your biography a little bit, we know you're a disabled veteran. Can you tell us about your service, when that ended, when you moved here?
Sure. I joined the Army National Guard here in 98. After one semester at UNCW, I got a tuition bill, and I said, I don't want my folks to pay this. So I joined up the next day. I've served at Ground Zero in New York. I've served... I was on, you're getting me on nuclear plants, airports. Then I went to active duty for Operation Enduring Freedom, and that's where I became injured. In 07, I came back. My wife and I finished our degrees at UNCW. We moved to Durham so we could go teach, because she couldn't find a job here. As a teacher, if you didn't have experience at that time, you were unhirable. So we went there, and I began teaching. She began teaching, and... I was not a licensed teacher, so I was put into long-term subbing. And then we had our child, and my wife was offered a position back here, and we moved back in a heartbeat back to where we were from. And since then, we've lived on We lived in Wilmington for about a year, and then we jumped back over the bridge to Brunswick County.
Jerry, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think it's really important people understand about you when they go to the polls?
I just think it's important that the trade school happens. I've run businesses in my life. I've used my college degree. I've worked for the military. And where I made the most money was in the trade industry. And quite honestly, that's where the future is, because those jobs will never be robotized, if you want to use that word. We talk about technology killing jobs, and they say 2/3 of jobs that exist now will not exist by the time the children graduate. And that's absolutely true. Automation is, we look at hamburger flippers in the West Coast, where they have robots flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. And Panera here in town just installed iPads, so you no longer put your order in with a human. That's what's coming. We have to understand that's coming, and we have to understand that trades are immune to that. You will never have a robot putting in your electrical wiring in your home, will never be framing your house. While the computer field is huge, it's a constantly changing field. And honestly, the school system nor the community colleges are able to keep up with the speed of which it changes. So only, you know, MIT and these cutting edge schools that specialize in that are able to keep up with the technology as it changes and to be on the cutting edge. And quite honestly, it's not practical because we don't have those jobs and careers here. So what we need to do is focus on careers that we have here.
Jerry Benton, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.